Joining us on Static this evening, it is so great in 2021 to hear from Jace and Olga from the Besnard Lakes. How are you both?
We're great. How are you?
I'm really good and so happy to hear from your band. It's been a while, and as far as I understand it, Jace, this is the Besnard Lakes album we very never nearly got.
Yeah, I mean, we put out our last record in 2016, and then in 2017, we parted ways with our label, Jag Jaguar, after 10 years of being with them. And we kind of weren't sure if we were going to continue at that point. You know, we'd done a bunch of records. We weren't spring chickens anymore, and we just didn't know if it was worthwhile for us to even make a record.
Olga, it must have been weird after being in a band for so long and you sort of get in that cycle of making a record and touring and all those things, to suddenly have the brakes put on and think to yourselves, is this what we still want to be doing?
Yeah, it's really hard to put ourselves back in that mindset just because of, you know, everything that's happened in the last couple of years. But, you know, it would usually take us about 3 years to put out a record, which is fairly, I mean, it's slower than the norm, I would think. But now it just seems kind of like, well, you know, it just, the time blew by, and especially since COVID hits, kind of put the brakes on everyone's lives in a way, you know?
It kind of feels like 4 years, because last year it didn't,
last year was a year that should not have been. 2020 was the year that wasn't. It's like, let's just erase it.
It's amazing how life can get in the way, and I know you even had some external things from outside the band as well, which I want to talk to you guys about too. But initially, splitting with the label, was there some friction, or was that sort of a natural end to this label that you'd worked with on quite a number of records by the time 2016's A Coliseum Complex Museum came out?
Yeah, I mean, there was no friction. We love those guys. I mean, I think it was really hard for them to make that call and for us too, but the writing was on the wall. Over the years, they'd become a pretty big label, and we were not one of the big sellers on their labels. So, you know, they worked pretty hard for us. But I think after a while, we kind of took advantage of each other and kind of got used to, you know, the release cycle. And
was it also a process, Jace, of trying to mix up the Besnard Lakes rulebook somewhat? Because by the time that last album came out, you guys were trading in a more succinct version of the band. The songs were shorter. I mean, in retrospect, is that really not the best thing the Besnard Lakes do to try and fit into that mold?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And the last record was a fun exercise, and we wanted to see if we could try to make shorter songs. But in the end, this record is the true Besnard. It's really what we've been striving for a long time.
Olga, you won't be contained any longer. That's it.
Yeah, we won't, yeah.
We're busting out all over the place.
It was hard, too, because we loved Jag Jaguar, and we loved those guys, and we also knew that it was very, just logistically, it's very expensive to make a double record and records that are over 45 minutes long. So that's kind of why we didn't think this record would come out at all, because we're just thinking, who the heck would put out a record that's over an hour long that requires four sides of vinyl? But we got lucky, and these labels are so excited for us to have this record out, and it feels brand new again. We're super grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels you guys are at your best when your songs can unspool slowly and their grandeur can kind of build up. I mean, you take your sweet time on so many of the songs on this new album. A track like Christmas Can Wait, it takes 6 minutes just for the drums to finally appear.
Yeah, we love it. That's it. I mean, that's who we are.
And Jace, on a personal level, I know you guys had some between albums calamities as well. Your dad passed away in 2019, so some other bigger life things happened outside of the band too.
Yeah, I mean, those things, my dad passing away, and earlier from that, when we started recording the record, my musical hero Prince died, and then we were nearing the end of the album, Mark Hollis from Talk Talk died. So this album really sort of took a theme of death quite early on. I mean, watching my dad slowly die of cancer was a pretty psychedelic experience in itself. So that song too, Christmas Can Wait, is actually about my dad and watching him deteriorate and him coming out of his morphine high and like telling me that there's, you know, I remember him waking up and looking at me and saying, do you want to know what I'm seeing right now? And I was like, yeah, I do.
Wow.
And he said, on my blanket, and he was pointing towards his leg, and he's like, there's a window here. And I'm like, what are you seeing through the window? And he said, there's a carpenter in there making things out of wood. And I'm like, what is he making? Like small carvings or like big things? And he's like, small things. And then he kind of faded back into his morphine haze. And it's really such a psychedelic experience to go through that. And knowing that he was also going through a psychedelic experience, you know, even before the morphine, just knowing that he was dying. And
Jace, it must be also amazing to see someone like your dad, who I'm guessing has been so stoic and probably someone you've known as quite straight-laced all your life, to see him going through those experiences in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the album really sort of helped me deal with the ideas of dying and like the problems that I had with it and how he felt about it. And I sort of thought about all those things while we were making the record, and I had never really resolved those things before because they'd never happened for real. And we talked about it on other records before in sort of like a I wonder what if kind of lyrical content, but now it was real. And so these ideas and these lyrics and these concepts and all these things that we were working out while we were making the record were real. So the record just felt like a little bit like therapy, at least for me.
It is also a real surprise when those musicians that you mentioned pass away, when any of your heroes die, and it does hit you so hard in a heart-wrenching way you weren't expecting, because their songs have felt timeless and a huge part of your life. And as you mentioned, Prince and Mark Hollis both going while the record was made, but also, I mean, David Bowie passed away 2 weeks before the last album by the Besnard Lakes came out. So there was a real period when that stuff was happening.
Yeah, I wrestled with that too. Obviously, I never knew Prince personally. You know, it's strange that you feel so much of a connection to these people, even though you've never met them. I credit him with being the person who first showed me that I could produce, arrange, compose, and perform my own music. So I could play any instrument I wanted to because he did. And his method of recording basically informs the way that I make my recordings to this day. And I never met the person.
Well, you also prove in the song that's the eulogy for Prince on this album, Jace, The Father of Time Wakes Up, how much of a deep dive fan you are, because you even use a pseudonym used by Prince, Jamie Starr, which is like this rare name he recorded under with the time. So yeah. You're showing off your fandom there.
Yeah, there's a few little nuggets in there. I mean, the end of the guitar solo played by our friend Mark Cuthbertson, I got him to just call melodies from all of Prince's collection. So there's, when he first starts the solo, it's the melody from This Is What It Sounds Like When Doves Cry, the vocal line. And then there's like three or four other Prince melodies going through the whole. So there's like Purple Rain is in there, and Red Corvette is in there.
So it's the Besnard Lakes Prince medley tribute.
It really is, yeah.
And Raindrops is great to hear too. That's your homage to Mark Hollis from Talk Talk. It has that line flipping the Talk Talk album title, Spirit of Eden, which says Garden of Eden Spirited. And yeah, having these people go while you're still a fan and so enamored of them, it's a bummer that it reminds you that they are mortals when they die, isn't it?
Oh my god, yeah, totally. You know, it was just a shock when we'd heard about Mark Hollis. He wasn't very old, and you know, and same with Prince. I mean, he looked like he was 30. It just seems like these are immortal people. And it's like, I guess maybe it's just, you know, through their art you think these things, you know. But for Mark Hollis, it was just, you know, both of us are big Talk Talk fans, and just the whole aesthetic, you know, even to have like album cover that's beautiful, you know, like the art that's involved in it, and just the poetry of the lyrics and the musicianship of the band. It's like all these things are so incredible.
Well, that said, Olga, speaking of beautiful album covers, I am slightly happy that the Besnard Lakes, the Jace, hasn't done his Love Sexy yet.
Oh man.
Oh
Oh, that would be, that would not be good for the world.
No.
The world does not want to see that.
No.
I mean, you guys also divided this album into four parts. It starts out with Near Death, then moves into Death, After Death, and Life. And so you've really thought about the way and the journey that you wanted to present on this Besnard Lakes album, right?
Yeah. Usually, like, I'm responsible for the sequence of the songs on the albums, and I realized with this, when we knew that it was going to be a double album, I was just like, oh, that's great. It can be like four, we can have it divided into four. It can be four different themes. And since it was at that point fairly evident to us, it was
Circle of Life.
Yeah, it was going to be something Circle of Life and Death. And I came up with the four titles because I just kind of thought it was kind of clever. You know, people will say Near Death, but they won't say After Death. They'll usually say Afterlife. Mm-hmm. So I like the lyrical, just the play on words and stuff.
Yeah, the album moves from life into death and then through, you know, what death might be back into life at the end. So yeah, it does go through that cycle.
Yeah, and there's also a clue to a through line in your music by naming it The Besnard Lakes Are, once again, which you haven't done in your album naming conventions for a while, since 2007 and 2010. So that feels like an important marker as well, you guys.
You know, we had fans lamenting that we had dropped it, and we had lamented ourselves that we had dropped it. The only reason we dropped it again was the label had said that it was really hard to catalog it,
yeah,
because the name is just...
Your titles were getting too long to fit on the spines of your records.
Yes, yeah. Well, they were saying, please, can we stop this Are The thing, because nobody knows how to catalog it properly. So when we made this record, we were like, you know what? This is what we are. We're always going to do this from now on. We love it, and the fans love it too. And again, it's like that whole cycle of us coming back to the essence of what Besnard is and throwing caution and to the wind and just doing what we always love to do.
And Jace, I would also be arguing, if bands like Chicago can make up to Chicago 25 or whatever they did, you should be able to make a few of them.
Exactly.
And I love the way you guys have made this such a blaze of glory, this album. I mean, and as the more you make and thinking about the past few years, are the pair of you mindful more of your own mortality and the fact that you are going to be leaving these records behind when you go?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think so much about that, but I mean, I think more about what will happen to us when we get old. I mean, that was Dark Side of Paradise. It's kind of a love song to Augie, just sort of asking her what we're going to do when we get old, because are we going to do heroin and die together? Or is someone going to die first? And how's that going to look like? And I think more about that, our own mortality towards that. It's like with the records, I haven't really thought much about that. I know they're going to go on as long as somebody decides to keep them in print. But at this point, I'm more just contemplating our own life and death and what happens there.
Well, you guys look after each other for now. No heroin or morphine or anything in the immediate future, I hope.
Yeah, no.
No.
That's down the road.
Yeah. We might have to listen to one of the more life-affirming songs off the record now after that conversation. We'll play the final track off the album, because this is from the life side of it, Last of the Great Thunderstorm Warnings.
Mm-hmm. We both sort of feel at the end that this record has a real lightness and positivity to it in the end, and it doesn't just weigh you down with darkness. There's a hope to it. There's sunlight at the end of, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of takes that arc where by the end you feel hopeful and hopefully anyways.
It was great to talk to you both on Static this evening. Look after each other, and this is the Besnard Lakes now on Static.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.